Welcome back to Radio Wasteland, the best in paranormal talk radio, past, present, and future, also including all other talk radio programs that will ever or have ever existed. I'm Kara Kittrick, and I'm joined today by Chauncey Haworth, who is the host of this program and the creator of Radio Wasteland, here to talk about Christmas, blackface, and a short story he wrote called Black Pete, as well as all manner of Scandinavian Christmas legends. Chauncey, what are we talking about here?
Well, thanks for having me on, Kara.
Yeah. Well, you know, the other guest canceled at the last minute, so we thought, you know, let's bring in the guy who runs the program.
Who do we got around here we can huck a stick at?
Yeah, let's get Chauncey. Hopefully our listeners will forgive us.
Well, I'm basically, I think there's a big crossover between horror movie fans and paranormal. That's how I got into paranormal, was I'm first and foremost a horror fan. And
oh, you're a horror movie fan.
Yes. And you know, Christmas has always been my second favorite holiday because it's so dark and creepy. There's so much dark and creepy history to it. And I don't think most people know that. More people know that today than used to, but and a lot of that has been stemmed from this kind of like paranormal thing, but I don't think people realize the dark and creepy history that's like also beyond the evil characters or the followers of Saint Nicholas and stuff like that. You know, like ghost stories were always a part of it, and trick-or-treating was a part of it. You know, there was a lot to Christmas that's dark, and I like dark stuff.
Yeah. Well, so the story itself is basically, let me see if I have this right, the story of a child living in a very old-fashioned town that has its own idiosyncratic sort of Christmas legends, and their parents warn them about Black Pete might, you know, come to get them if they don't sort of shape up with their Christmas behavior. And in the end, this monstrous black-skinned being with, like, sharp teeth does, in fact, come and get him. He narrowly escapes the demon that Santa sends to punish bad kids. Is that about the size of it?
Yeah. It's pretty much Santa and a bunch of demons. Because one of the, like, there are a lot of different skin. You know, these are isolated towns, and you know it's cold here, so they're doubly isolated. You know,
once you don't go trekking around. You know, I'm going to see what the town up there does for Christmas. Right, no, you're staying put, and you're not opening the door.
Yeah, if you're visiting, you live there now. Yeah. And one of these is that Santa enslaved demons and uses the demons that he's enslaved to help him bring all the joy to the world as their kind of penance or whatever. So that was the part where they're all these, you know, demons. So they all kind of have a similar look because they are all demons. But that's where I pulled that from. And I thought that was a really cool sort of way of putting it. Because over the years, as I heard of Krampus and stuff like that, I'm all, why is Santa such a nice guy? Why is he hanging out with this guy? He's obviously a jerk, you know, right. So it's like.
He's got horns.
Right. So I felt the enslaved thing really sort of.
Yeah, that's some deep Christmas folklore. Now is. So we're talking about Scandinavian legends here, right?
For the most part.
This idea of Santa enslaving demons, when and where does that come from?
Most of these come from Germany and Austria.
Okay. So it's not even Scandinavian. It's like...
Right. But some of them span out, you know, and I can't pretend to be, you know, an expert on it. I basically, there was a reason behind doing this. And so as I, let me explain why I don't. Okay. There was a reason behind doing this. I decided I wanted to write this story because I loved all these things. And in looking at it, every time I'd look at it, a very common character was Black Pete. And every time I came to Black Pete, I'm just all, man, this guy's a little shady. I'm not sure I want to have anything to do with this story.
Yeah.
You know, and the reason being that Black Pete traditionally in these towns is played by a person in blackface.
Oh.
Right. And so I would look at these and it was all just so cool, so cool. I'm just, oh man, this is like imagination heaven. And then there's always the guy there going, hey, I'm in blackface. And I'm just all like, oh, I don't know about all this.
You know? Right. So you're loving the sort of weird, wacky, occult Christmas horror. And then, bam, you're hit with a dose of blackface.
Right, yeah. Like, who wants to be the blackface guy? Nobody does.
Right.
No, nobody
yeah.
does.
What's so you decided to write a short story.
Okay, there's a reason. you know, as you read more into the character of Black Pete, it was like in the 18th century or 1800s that he was first portrayed as a black Moor. Prior to that, he was never portrayed as anything other than like a black-skinned, like demon servant of St. Nicholas. And so from like the 1850s on, he's been portrayed as somebody as a black person by white people in blackface. But his history goes back a little further.
I was actually wondering if that was probably the case, because I happen to know in a lot of like older Scandinavian legends of like the Draugr, which are these undead who live in like basically burial mounds and attack anyone who comes in and like attack nearby villages, are thought to have blue or black skin. And this is a much older legend than, like, the slave trade. This is, like, a legend from, you know, the 1100s or something.
Right.
So I wondered if it was maybe that. But it sounds like what you're saying is, like, these were sort of Norse folklores of just a black-skinned monster that later became racialized because people were like, hey, black skin, we're horrible. We can run with that.
You know, because, I mean, they live in, you know, isolated mountain towns of white folk, and probably when they found out that black folk existed, you know, there was probably some tie in their folklore for, and, you know, that's easy to say that like your average Joe who's working at the grocery store or whatever goes like, oh, black people exist. Well, this must be, that's probably not how it really happened. How it really happened was, it was a specific writer rewrote the tale with illustrations of him as a black Moor. And so now that gets around and that changes everything. So I look at it and I go, man, I just hate this. Every time I see this, it ruins my imagination train. So I was glad because basically for like the last 10 years, I do this. I read into it every Christmas because I love it so much. And this time I finally read deep enough into Black Pete where there was history beyond that. And I thought to myself, okay, well, I'm not going to let people being stupid ruin this for me. And I'm going to attack this head on and I'm going to rewrite this. Other people rewrote this tale into something that I don't like. So I'm going to rewrite this tale into something I do like.
He is not an Arab. He is a frostbite-skinned demon, and I demand that he be treated as such.
Yeah. And although I like that take, I didn't realize that take the frostbite.
Yeah, well, that's where it came from, is these, you know, really cold bodies that end up looking sort of blue or purplish or even kind of black in death is why Draugr were portrayed as being black. And To be fair, like, the Vikings knew black people exist. Like, the Vikings had extensive...
Yeah, they had boats. Contact. They weren't in the Alpine Mountains.
Right, yeah, they had extensive contact with people in Africa, the Middle East, whatever. There were even, like, black Vikings. But this is ideas of race, like, the ideas of, like, black and white is kind of developed later. This was just spooky frostbitten corpse.
Right.
Radio Wasteland comes to you from the Reading studios of Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM and AM 1460. Visit Radio Wasteland at Instagram at instagram.com/radiowasteland.
You know, so as I did that, this is a little off topic here, but this is, you know, I'm curious about people's thought about this. For one, I was like a little nervous.
Sure.
You know, to write this because, you know, I don't want people thinking like I'm okay with mocking, you know, other people or something. I mean, I mock my family, but that's about it.
It sounds like you kind of wrote this for you.
I did. Definitely wrote it for me, but it did get me to thinking about the character Black Pete. And so in a lot of these towns, apparently, there's a big pushback trying to get rid of this character.
Right.
But there's whole holidays of this character coming through the streets and throwing candy to the kids, and they all love it and everything. And I was thinking, like, now, this is a totally potentially shady thing to say, so correct me if I'm overstepping, but I think it sucks that all that fun would be taken away because people were jerks. So
yeah.
It's like, I like the idea of it was rewritten to become something terrible. So rewrite it to become something not, you know, I'm kind of
two minds, but like, I agree. I think it's sad if like, this is a legend that goes back, you know, much longer than like colonialism and European slavery and stuff. I think it would be sad if we couldn't find some way to like, I don't know, make it not just a racial caricature, but I can also
rewrite
see
it into a deer monster if you want.
Yeah.
Rewrite it into a giant ladybug or a
right, you know, yeah, a
whatever. You know. I don't care. That all the kids care about is that some character is going to come running through the streets throwing them candy. That's right. The part that you don't want to ruin.
No,
you know, that's really the part that I'm moving on to. Now, the other one was done just for me. Black Pete is done just for me because I want demons. I like demons. What am I going to do? You know, but as far as like the celebrations demons in these places, they're trying to cancel it and put an end to it. And, no. I would like to see them claim it and, get a different character in there and keep hucking candy at kids, you know?
Yeah. You don't want to cancel it just because, you know, the taste that's going to leave in people's mouth is, oh, we can't have our holiday anymore because political correctness gone amok. And it's like, no, that's right. Not really what's going on. I think there's a way to do this that's more deft, but who knows? And neither of us are, you know, German. I'm pretty ignorant about all of this. So, you know, maybe there's more to it than that. But that's kind of my take with what little I know.
Oh, no, absolutely, absolutely. But, you know, all of the world was created by somebody's idea. You know, if you're a believer in God, God did not decree that every corner must have a stop and sip. You know, basically society was created by humans. A lot of this crappy stuff, if you don't like it, you can just change it, get rid of it, you know, make it something better. You know, it was created that way by some jerk. Now you can come in and be a not jerk. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't use that for your stupid Halloween costumes. That's not what I'm saying.
God. Yeah.
But, you know, Black Pete is only one of the characters in it. So Santa, in a lot of these places, going across all these places, typically has 1 to 4 traveling companions.
Wow.
And, you know, so I chose 4, four companions of St. Nicholas to use in the story. Black Pete is
got Old Man Whipper.
Old Man Whipper. Yeah. Is, and Belsnickel and Black Pete.
Right.
And, Old Man Whipper is one of the variations.
Like the Beatles.
Is one of the variations of Krampus, you know, so. You know, Krampus is a big demon with a wicker basket and a and a stick. You know, some places have multiple Krampuses. I mean, all the way over to Russia, they have Baba Yaga flying around in a basket using a broom as a steering rudder to huck kids in. There's a lot of variations of them. Old Man Whipper is just one of them. And I just liked him because he just had a long sticking out tongue. And, I felt if I went with Krampus, that was probably a little much coming out of the gate.
Well, here's the thing. I didn't know there were any of these characters in the first place. I've heard of Krampus, sure.
Right.
Never heard of any of these other guys.
Oh, really?
Is this like a common... How widespread was this idea of Santa with, like, this entourage? Was this just a German thing? Was this all over
Europe?
Throughout
all the Scandinavian alpine countries.
Weird.
Yeah. It gets weird in some of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. It gets really weird in some of them. Like my Belsnickel. Belsnickel more common. So have you ever seen, like, pictures of Santa Claus, and there's Santa in all his gold robes and red, right?
Sure.
And next to him is another bearded old man in like just a drab robe.
I haven't actually seen that, but you said it with a lot of confidence.
Okay. So that's one of them. There tends to be the royalty Santa, the sort of humble peasant Santa that's his servant, you know, mm-hmm. and then the baddie that comes along for the bad kids, and then the watcher. So here we have Black Pete watching, and then Belsnickel sort of decides. Now, Belsnickel and Old Man Whipper, so Belsnickel, okay, there is a lot here. So Belsnickel more commonly is displayed as like a mountain man with a beard covered in furs and stuff like that. And he, in my story and in several of them, makes the choosing. He's sort of the naughty nice list tracker.
Sure.
Right. In some stories, he's also the bad guy. He's also the Krampus figure. Cause remember, we're dealing with anywhere from two to four. So it can be spread out.
Right.
But in some cultures, Belsnickel is dressed as a woman for some reason.
Okay. But so, he's a guy who is dressed as a woman.
Yeah.
So Belsnickel's just in drag.
Yeah.
Good for her.
Right. So I went with that one. So I he's a
you gotta
you got it right. Yeah. He's a. I imagine him as being a solid black demon like Black Pete, but sure. Wearing the gold dress from Belle and Beauty and the Beast. You know, this is what I imagined him. And so Black Pete basically reports to Belsnickel, again, a real character who comes through and picks. And there are several ways that Belsnickel would pick. And one is, you know, he's got a switch, and he would tap on the windows of the bad kids. You know,
What does that do?
You know, all of this comes from something. You know, it's some, like, drunk-ass jerk of a dad who started this. He went outside his kids' windows and tapped on there and thought it was real funny and traumatized his whole family, which spread for generations.
That. I believe that.
Where was I?
Okay, Belsnickel.
Yeah. There's a couple of ways. One is, like, the good kids would get a bundle of sticks painted gold, and the bad kids would get, like, a single stick painted silver.
Okay. Silver's
so you knew
pretty
you were
good.
Bad at that point. And you knew that Old Man Whipper might be coming for you.
Now, was Old Man Whipper called that because he, like, whipped bad kids?
Yeah.
Or was
yeah.
that just his name? Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, he whipped him with a stick.
So that's more like a title. Like, his name was probably just John or something.
He has a name, and it's French, and I don't think I could pronounce it.
That's valid, frankly.
Knight... It stands for Knight something, but again, all of these characters cross over drastically from place to place. Like, so what I'm calling the scribblers in there, those are another one. So my dad's boyfriend growing up was from Germany, and I asked him, hey, did you guys have Krampus where you guys are from? Mm-hmm. And he said, no, we had like a lot of little Krampuses. So in his town, they would dress up all in black, the little kids, and they would run through the town sort of teasing the adults. And they were all in blackface. And he said that it was soot, supposed to be soot, but, you know, was it, though? You know, was it? So there's a lot of this going on in these mountain towns, and it's, you know, to bring it back around to blackface, I guess. But there is a lot of this going on in these mountain towns. But there's also a lot of people pushing back, trying to get rid of it in a lot of these cases.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading wants to wish you a happy new year. And to celebrate the new year, Quick and Clean offers car wash packages starting at only $9. Now the winter weather is upon us when dirt and grime can really build up on your vehicle. So stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and Clean.
You're listening to Chauncey and Kara on Radio Wasteland right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's Free Fire Radio. And don't forget to follow Radio Wasteland on Facebook at facebook.com/radiowasteland.us.
daughter, and she's like a beautiful hot chick and all. And I say specifically beautiful hot chick because that's how she's portrayed, sure, as like the snow beauty. And she has all blue robes and furs as well.
So in this Christmas cosmology of the, you know, northern latitudes, do we still have elves, Rudolph, et cetera, et cetera? Is that
no.
purely American?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. All
and
of Sam, that.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, all of that really started, really didn't kick off hardcore until the 1940s, 50s.
Huh.
So, I mean, while they do stem from things prior a lot of the time, you know, this whole commercialization of Christmas with jolly old Saint Nick and the elves and Rudolph and all this stuff, you know, this was not a thing prior to the 40s.
Yeah. Well, you know,
I mean, it was a broad collection of things, but. Sorry,
I think, you know, society and secularism and the war on Christmas has really just brought us just further and further every year away from the true meaning of the holiday, which is Belsnickel, Old Man Whipper, and, you know, Black Pete, who are always watching you and might hurt you if you're misbehaving child.
Yeah, this is going to be controversial too, but it's as much a reason for the season as Jesus, if not more so.
Yeah.
You know,
so. Well, I feel like it depends on where you live. Cause like.
It does. Yeah.
You know, I think if you live in those places, sure. If you live in the United States, well, I don't know. We never have. Did those legends ever get transferred to here, or were they pretty much left behind in Europe?
Oh no, absolutely. You know, it absolutely came here. Am I losing connection? I just got a warning that my internet was unstable.
Yeah, you froze for a second there.
Well, it's snowing here.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. No, it happened like you would expect it to happen. That, you know, as people immigrated here, they all happened, but you know, the nature of the United States has always been a little more melty potty,
sure,
and that's how we ended up with these sort of collections of our own American history that's now spread out to the rest of the world of what Christmas is. So yeah, we definitely had them in Wisconsin and Michigan,
right,
Pennsylvania, you know, all through
places that were sort of heavily populated, yeah, by immigrants from,
right,
Germany,
from Europe. Right, European, yeah, immigrants. And, you know, this is by no means just an Alpine thing, you know. Black Pete is celebrated in France.
Really? Okay. So
yeah,
it's also in Western Europe.
Black Pete, or I don't know how to say black in French, but Z-W-I-E-T-Z.
I've heard that before. I think it is like Zwart or,
yeah,
something like that.
Yeah. You know, you just brought up the term cancel culture. And
Wait, I did?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I did. I was joking, but go ahead.
but no, I think it does fit. And, you know, I think, you know, the world is like, oh, these lefties are crazy or these righties are crazy, you know. But at least the person on the who thinks a little more left, when people are crazy in this cancel culture world, unfortunately, it is built off of like a 10% mark where they're absolutely right. You know, so it becomes difficult. It becomes difficult when people say, oh, well, you need to get rid of this, that, and the other thing. And you know, and I think, oh, well, we do need to do something about those things. But then other people are just all, burn them to the ground. And like, people are just all like, no, that's not what we're all saying. But what we're
right.
saying is, you know, and, you know, I want to make sure that history is not forgotten. It doesn't have to
sure.
be the situation, you know. Traditions can change,
but they
you know,
all the time.
You can't burn history to the ground. You know, there has to be a place for it. And go yeah. ahead and change those histories. Change them all you want. Come up with new traditions. I mean, look at your own family now. I mean, my family right now has entirely new traditions. And while we look at the old traditions, we go, "That's the way it was," but that's not the way it is now. Because we're not going
yeah.
to do those things. And I'm not even talking on a race level. I'm talking on
a
pure microcosm of a family.
Yeah.
You know, traditions change. as you go. So, you know, but,
well, like you just said, a lot of our beloved Christmas traditions of the last few generations are not that old.
Yeah. Yeah. They're, you know, at least we're getting rid of them for good reasons now. I'll throw this.
Yeah.
At least getting rid of them for racism, that's good. You know, because for decades we were getting rid of them for religious reasons, and that's not.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know. How do you think the world should address these things?
I mean, I think it's basically what you said, but I think in general the thing to do is like listen to the people who are specifically saying, hey, this, you know, this is offensive for X, Y, and Z reasons, and, you know, evaluate those arguments from there. And I think a lot of times, you know, I think it's generally obvious why, like, blackface is not okay, yeah. Even if you're like, oh, I didn't mean it in a racist way.
Right.
Like I did. No, well, people are like that. People are like, well, it's not blackface. It's Black Pete. He's a demon. And it's like, okay, but it's, right. It still looks like blackface. And, you know, I think generally given the 500, 600 year history of just extreme racism and brutal atrocities perpetuated all across the entire planet by white people, like, the least we can do now, the absolute least, is just, like, don't fight tooth and nail for, like, stupid stuff that doesn't matter, you know?
Right. That doesn't exist.
Know? Right, you know, yeah,
we all generally, we all collectively, okay, so a lot of people have a lot of religions, and I appreciate
yeah.
that. That's a different conversation. Here we're talking about magical fake beings at Christmas that do not exist.
Right. So if someone has a problem with Black Pete, like, because right. it looks like minstrelry, it's like, yeah, okay, fair.
All right. New you know? Introducing Purple Pete.
Right. You know? Yeah, he's purple.
You know, just, right, change it. It's all
he's,
made
he's
up. Grape None
grape.
Of it's real. None
he's
of it's
a huge
real,
evil grape.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I think, I don't know, like, I think with a lot of the problematic part, right, is the blackface. So I just don't do that. You know, it's not that hard. Like, I would argue, in general, from my own life experience, that it's easier to not do blackface than it is to do blackface.
Yeah.
You don't have to apply all the makeup and stuff. I think I don't do blackface every day. Every day of my life.
I really don't do it solely because it's easier. You
yeah.
know, if they came up with a way that I could just, like, wake up and be like, bam, you know, maybe.
Yeah, okay. I'll quote you on that during your 2028 presidential bid.
Have you ever
that,
seen
that segment is going to be played 24/7.
Have you ever seen that show Big Mouth?
No.
It's like a cartoon about kids coming of age on Netflix. No. Well, there's
never get your references, Chauncey. I'm sorry.
Well, there's a scene in it where the dad's just all like, racism is wrong unless we've done it for a long time, at which point it becomes tradition.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Like, and I feel like that's kind of this situation that people don't have enough foresight to see how drastically traditions have changed over the years, even
right.
in their own lifetimes. So keep changing. Keep changing it.
Yeah, and I mean, I think a lot of this is, too, is just people in general are very unaware of, like, history. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the stuff that we get taught about, like, racism, just speaking in the United States here, not even in Europe, where I don't really even know what it's like, it's, like, we learn about slavery, and we learn about Jim Crow, and we learn then there was Martin Luther King, and everything's better now. Right.
Yeah, I didn't That's, even learn about Jim Crow, really.
Right. So it's like, and if it's like those things are the absolute, like, tip of the iceberg, you know, they don't teach a lot of stuff, which I would argue is really, like, crucial for Americans to learn about, like, Cointelpro or, like, in the 50s or, like, the history of sort of how indentured servitude became slavery, like, the roots of racist ideology, or, like, stuff about colonial, like we talk about colonialism, but it's all in a very sort of sterile, like, you know, the Europeans didn't know any better and they killed off all the people in this country or that country, like practically, like they arrived. It's always said the Europeans arrived in this place, right. Not like they attacked this place.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
At Shasta Regional Medical Center, we're specialists in emergency care with the experience and training to deliver expert diagnosis and treatment to all emergency patients. Shasta Regional Medical Center is certified as an advanced primary stroke facility and is one of the nation's 50 top cardiovascular hospitals and is a fully accredited chest pain center. In an emergency when every minute has meaning and every second counts, choose Shasta Regional Medical Center, your choice for emergency care. Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring for our community when minutes matter.
Hi, this is Matt with Liberty Unabashed, a show on every other Sunday at 8 in the morning. Come check out my music and the deep thought and let me shatter your paradigm.
Let's keep it 100. Them traitors think they won, but them patriots coming. You fall for anything if you don't stand for something. Some people say it's time to fight, but ain't about nothing, yeah. And I only bout it, God can't bout it, nothing else.
Yeah, it's time to fight. And it don't matter if you're black or white. And I know it's gonna take some sacrifice.
You're listening to Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with Chauncey and Kara. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us.
You know, if you want the history of how you got to stand in the world that you're currently standing in, the innovation coming in, and so, because some of that's true, you know, I mean, there wasn't a lot of smelting of iron and stuff like that going on. And
that's true.
You know, it comes in, and that's a part of the history. But, you know, what you're saying is I totally agree with. And I would wrap it up in, if you take a U.S. history class and you don't learn U.S. history,
right?
You probably need to take another class. You know, how can you teach kids U.S. history without teaching them all of that?
You know? So
that's my issue. I keep hearing these arguments on the radio, and they're just, they're teaching our kids this, that, and the other thing. I'm like, well, if that's true, don't teach them just that, because that too is only half of the story, you know?
Right.
you got to teach them the whole story and leave out all the damn adjectives. This is, again, my problem. We've talked about this before with the news. You know, part of the problem and part of the reason why people get upset when history is taught is the biases of historians.
Sure.
And you put in a lot more adjectives when you got an angle.
Yeah. So you're saying you want like the simple Wikipedia version of history, you know, lots of information, but taught using, you know, the 100 most common words in English.
The what?
The 100 most common words in English.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Well, I mean, if you're not going to have another class, show me another class where kids are learning more than the 100 most commonly used words in English, and I'll expand that to the 1,000. But I mean, if we don't have a class that's teaching them more than 100 words, no, absolutely not. Don't word it in any. Yes, that is exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of this is like the way we do it now is kind of like you get sort of the hero worshipy, you know, you get the version that is not too upsetting to either kids or parents up until like high school. And then you go to college and you get the version that is understood by like all historians basically.
Right.
And that version is immensely distressing. So it's like people go to college and, you know, they immediately are like, my country did what? Like, you know, it's actually quite, I don't know, not everyone who goes to college even like takes humanities classes, but sometimes it can be like, you know, you take these classes and it's like, hold on, the CIA did what thing? Like,
oh yeah.
So it's, you know, maybe a gentler angle of entry where we just like don't lie to our kids for, you know, 14 years or whatever, and then send them to college and be like, hey, but none of that was like true. This now, it was like, okay,
right,
that was not eloquently put, but what I'm saying is, you know, we should maybe get some of these viewpoints in there earlier. But
well, I'm guessing I've probably told you this before, but bringing this around full circle, I had this issue with my daughter Harley when she was born. Both my wife and my kid's mom, you know, so Harley's like 3 or something at that point. I'm talking to both of them and I'm just like, you know, I don't want to lie to Harley and tell her there's a Santa. I feel a little weird about you know, lying to my kid about magical beings. And they're both all like, oh, you're being stupid, whatever. Just let her have her fun and blah, blah, blah. So I lose, you know, I got the kid mom, I got the wife, I lose.
Sure.
And like, you know, years later, Harley's like too old to believe in Santa, but she totally believes in Santa. And finally, I'm telling the two of them, I'm just
let that bandit off.
We need to tell her.
We have to stop this.
Right. And they're just all, all right, go ahead and tell her.
She's going to be taking physics classes, and she can't think that a reindeer can travel around the world in one night.
Right, right. Yeah, she's like nine or something. She's like getting too old to not have
Yeah, that's too old.
And so it gets tasked to me to break this lie to my daughter that I was forced into keeping, I'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love a movie called Chasing Amy. I love movies. And so I
How you like movies?
I draw a picture. Oh no, I straight up tell her. So I don't mess with her first. I straight up tell her. I'm just all Santa's not real. We were just telling you that it's all coming from us and we love you. And she's all, oh, okay, okay. And she's just all like,
and watch and a little Easter bit Bunny. Of magic die inside her heart.
Yeah, no, she dealt with it perfectly.
No, she's okay.
And the Easter Bunny? And I'm all, yeah, no, also not real. Tooth Fairy? No. The gnomes? Okay, they had a thing at their school with gnomes. That's a whole nother, whole nother story. Gnomes aren't real now.
Yeah.
And so I think she gets it. We're all good. We just had the conversation, and she's totally fine with it. I'm all right. Well, I guess she already knew. And so
you can't half-ass the deprogramming.
I can't just leave well enough alone. From this movie, Chasing Amy, I'm joking with her, and I draw a picture of a dollar in the middle of the thing. And I draw a picture of a snail, and then I draw Santa Claus, and then I draw the Easter Bunny, and then I draw the Tooth Fairy. And I put it down, and I say, which one will get the dollar first? And she's all, well, the Easter Bunny, because it's a bunny. And I'm all, nope. And she's all, Tooth Fairy, because it can fly. And I'm all, no. She's all, Santa. And I'm all, no, the snail will get it first. And she's all, what? And I'm just all, well, the other three are figments of your imagination.
Oh, God.
And she looks at me and she's all, you're lying! And she just screams and starts crying and runs up to her room. And
oh no.
My God, what have I done? And I fully just destroyed my daughter, who is way too old to believe in Santa.
Oh, God. You had it. You did it perfectly. And then you're like, I'm going to ram this nail in.
And she needed to marinate on it. She wasn't ready.
Oh, that's hilarious, frankly.
God, I feel so bad about it. And she'll, oh man,
she. So in this case, in this metaphor, the dollar picture is learning about racism in your college history classes.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Honestly, yeah, that tracks.
I got a thing of Christmas cards 1 year, and so this war on Christmas, all right, I'm just not going to stop.
Not going to end the show. We're just going to keep almost ending the show, and yeah.
So I came home the other day. Yeah. I came home the other day to my wife, and I'm just all, you know, for all the talk of the war on Christmas, I do not see a lot of it in my day-to-day activity. There seems to be a lot of Christmas going around. I got this thing of cards. And one of the cards, there was three different types of cards in the box. One said, Merry Christmas.
Okay.
One said, Happy Holidays.
Okay.
For the people who don't do Christmas. They right. do other things. And right. one of them said, Winter Wishes. Mm. Which I thought was hilarious. Because it's yeah. totally just like,
it's a little clunky.
Some crappy aunt, some crappy, fully just Jesus-loving aunt, my aunt, you know, sending me the winter wishes as this sort of, like, half-love, half-screw-you sort of thing, you know?
Yeah, send the winter wishes card.
Oh, you don't celebrate it? Well, here's the winter wishes card.
Yeah. God, the winter wishes card.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, you can send the winter wishes card to your evangelical relatives and just imagine, you know, the blood pressure skyrocket.
Good point. All right.
And, you know, it's a powerful weapon in the war on Christmas.
Yeah.
A devastating new device is being employed on the front line.
That just takes holidays.
The winter wishes card.
Enjoy the cold.
Oh, God.
All right.
Yeah.
You've been listening to
the wishes for firewood.
All right. This is happening. You've been listening to Radio Wasteland. And what do we have to say to our audience, Kara?
Winter wishes. Happy holidays. Winter wishes. Okay.
Wishes.
Okay.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.